You are listening to the Christy G Podcast with your host, Christy G.
Hey, that's me.
It is you.
Is that really what I sound like?
Yes, it is.
All right, here we go. Hey guys, welcome back. Episode 6 is here. I hope you heard episode 5. If you've not, it's with my friend Joe Ortega. He is awesome, and that chat was super inspiring, and it was silly, and it was fun, and I really think that you guys would like it. So if you haven't heard it, please go check it out. Also, the one before with Ethan Luck. Such fun people, great human beings. The world needs to know them, so be about it, okay? Since then, I have been enjoying some really gloomy Los Angeles weather. Like, currently today, it's so rainy and cold. And by cold, I mean like 50 degrees. But that's cold to me. But I love the rain. Every time it rains, I automatically have to cue the garbage song, I'm Only Happy When It Rains. It's just always in my head when it rains and just enjoying it. It's the closest thing to snow that we get here in LA. So I'm absorbing it, literally. That's stupid. So I've been doing that. I put up all my Christmas decorations and just getting in the festive mood. I went and saw A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood last Friday. I 1,000,000,000% suggest that you guys go see that. It's with Tom Hanks. It is amazing. My husband worked on it, so even more reason to go see it. But it's really uplifting. It makes you believe in good in the world, and it's just amazing. That's about all I can really say about it. Very beautiful. And also, I got back into working on some like digital art this week. I used to do these like custom portraits way back in the day, and I started that up again. So if you follow me on Instagram, you'll probably see that I've been posting it, and I've been having a lot of really good times with that, and got a couple custom orders so far. So if you're into that, hit me up, guys. I'm totally down to do a custom portrait of you guys. It's just really fun for me, very therapeutic, and I enjoy it a lot. Yay! In this episode, you guys, I am talking to my great friend, Jared Scott. Now, Jared I've known for quite a while. He, I think I met him, I think we said about 2010-ish, so close to 10 years. That's amazing. So we've been friends. He is an MXPX main photographer. He also is a photographer of so many other bands, but I discovered him because MXPX is like one of my favorite bands, and I followed them closely, and at the time, he was their photographer at that moment in the life that, I'm just rambling. Long story short. They posted something, tagged him in it, and I was like, oh, what a fun person. We became friends. He is an awesome, awesome human being. He went on to be my wedding photographer, and he has this amazing, cute, fun family, and we talk about all of that. We talk about music and photography. We talk about veggie food, fast food. We even get into a little theology, which is totally new for the podcast, but it's really fun, and we just have a lot of fun. It's just, he's a fun guy. He's like so much like a positive person to be around. And it's just, I knew it was going to be a good chat going into it. So I really think you're going to enjoy it. We also add some music to the podcast soundtrack. So there's 2 songs we're adding. We'll totally talk about that. Guys, I hope you enjoy it. Here is my conversation with Jared Scott.
Hi, this is Jared.
Hey, Jared, this is Christy.
What? Christy?
You're the funniest. How are you?
I'm good. You want to know what's weird?
Yeah.
When you know how photos show up on your phone when you call? Mm-hmm. And sometimes you forget that that's there?
Yeah.
Do you know what your photo is?
I have no idea.
It is you and Chris Carrabba. Oh. Like making like a surprised face at the phone. I think you were with him.
Yeah, that
and was
the
like
photo
shortly after. Did you do that for me?
I
feel like you were doing something.
Oh, wait, it's not the black and white one. It's a different one.
Yeah, it's a color one.
Oh,
I think I had done a shoot with him.
Oh my gosh.
And then I think you were at a show with him. I think it might have been when he was doing Twin Forks.
I forgot about that one. You need to send that to me.
I gotta find a way to get it out of there.
Screenshot it, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's so funny. Oh, I love that. That's fun. Very cool.
Those are those like hidden gems, you know. Like you don't see those pictures all the time.
Yeah.
You don't scroll back because they're, you know, they're just attached to. Anyway, how are you?
I'm good. You know, living it up. It's finally cooler in LA, which I'm extremely pumped about. You get all the fun weather. You know how California is. We get like no weather besides sun.
Yeah, exactly. You don't get seasons. You don't get changes. So we actually have weather everywhere else.
For those of you who don't know, Jared is in Tennessee.
No longer California.
Yeah, I envy you. I love Tennessee. It's so pretty.
It is wonderful.
That's where all the cool kids are going too.
I guess. I don't know. I think all of them are going more north, and we went south. Mm. So we're the oddballs.
I like that though. It's cool.
Yeah, I'm into it. I got no complaints.
Okay, so can you give the listeners just like a tiny little intro to who you are for us? Like,
you mean they don't know who I am?
I think there's maybe like one person in the world that's just randomly found this podcast that needs to know.
Oh, right. I thought you were gonna say the opposite, that one person did know who I was, and I was gonna say
no.
I was gonna say hi, Ethan. The only person that knows me. My name is Jared. I'm a photographer for the last like 12-ish years, and now I'm kind of playing in some different spaces, being like a creative director and dealing with like marketing and other fun stuff at the moment. But yeah, photo has been my job for the last 12 years, and mainly in the music scene.
That's right. Which is, I believe, how we became friends somehow. When I was talking to Ethan, I realized I met Ethan through you. And I'm like, I don't remember how I met you. I think it's like, oh, that guy's the photographer for MXPX. I want to be his friend. And I think that's how it worked out. But like, it's you, me and you snowballed into meeting all kinds of really cool people.
Yeah.
So it's
when
fun.
You were living in California, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I had just moved out here.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
It's weird. I think I remember it was like plans within plans. Like you would put like, when did that record come out? Do you remember?
2010 or 11.
Okay, so that makes
maybe
sense.
10?
That was right before I started my blog. And I think like you had posted something on Twitter back when I was doing Twitter. And MXPX like retweeted it. And was like, oh, our photographer. And I was like, oh, how cool. He looks fun. And it just kind of went from there.
Yeah. I feel like the first time we met was at a Warp Tour or a show.
It was. It was at the Smoking Pope show.
The first time we met?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh. Well, there we go. Yeah. So my
then-girlfriend.
My then-girlfriend, now wife.
Aww.
Was at that show with
she
me.
Was?
That was the first time. Yeah. Aww. I think you may have gotten to just say hi.
Probably.
But I was like, this is this girl, Christy. We've been talking a little bit, but we've never met in person. Now we've met in person and stuff.
I think
that
I
was a good show.
It was so good. Was it with the Eagle Rock Gospel Choir or
something?
Yeah, that
it was
good. Yeah.
It was when they reissued Born to Quit, right?
Yeah.
That was so good.
That night, too, this girl, Kristen, who I haven't talked to her in a while, but she was in that band, but she was also in the Polyphonic Spree.
Oh, cool.
And she was there, and, like, we were, like, hanging out, and I was like, this is such a fun night. Like,
right?
So many, and, like, I feel like every time I go to the Troubadour, I see someone fun. Like, I was there.
I think that's that place.
Yeah,
that's
it
the
is.
Nice,
it's
the
a
nice thing
place.
About that is. Yes, exactly.
The last time I was there, I went and saw Rustin Kelly a few weeks ago, and Sonny from Five Iron was there.
He grabbed my butt last week.
That sounds
Sonny.
About right.
Yeah,
it was cool. Like I saw him, like, you know, like, and where the cool old people sit in the top. I was up there, and he was sitting like two rows in front of me. I was like, oh my god, there he is! I haven't seen him in like 5 years.
That guy. Yeah.
So, anyways, cool. So that's how we became friends, because the magical world of music. And then, of course, you went on to become my wedding photographer eventually, which was super fun.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
I mean, now, well, so when we met, 2010, mm-hmm. What year did you get married?
2015. Nope, 14.
Really?
14.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, remember during those few years then, like, we'd see each other at shows, uh-huh. and one time you modeled Born and Bred clothes for me.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
For a shoot. That sounded so weird if I didn't say for a shoot.
Yeah. yeah.
And I'm sure, so here's something I remember, and you may have received similar advice elsewhere, but I'm going to start trying to claim credit for things.
Okay.
I remember you were having, like, you know, some, like, dating troubles of, like, you know, mm-hmm. guys, always. Like, the band scene. Uh-huh. And I was like, maybe don't date, like, dudes in the band scene, in the music scene.
It's true.
And then I feel like shortly after that, you met Mark.
It's
and
true.
Then I got to meet Mark, and I was like, yes, this is it. Like, this is awesome.
I know.
Mark is the best.
He is the best. One of my favorite things about him is that he never played a musical instrument. I was, like, so over it by the time I met him. Like, I think he told me he played the bells in middle school, and I was like, sweet.
No, you're like, I'm trying to stay away from the music.
Yeah.
Mark.
I was like, they're great for friends, but that's as far as I'm going.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
So I take a little credit then that you went looking elsewhere. And then, yeah, as I got to know Mark and when you guys got engaged, I remember. Mm-hmm. I don't do this often. I mean, I've shot weddings on and off for 12 years, but there are a couple times when friends get engaged that I hit them up and I say, please let me shoot your wedding, please. And I wore you guys down.
I think you actually, before we actually got engaged, you were like, I think you commented on Instagram, like, when you get engaged, I claim photographer.
Yep.
And I was like,
probably
oh my gosh.
Did that too.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And it worked
out.
And
that was just so fun. Yeah. It was
it's like
so
the secret.
Fun.
You put it out in the universe.
Yep. Yeah. And then we got to do our, like, engagement shoot on the Sony back lot.
That was
nerdy.
Fun.
It
was
really fun. And it's funny because I think if I quickly scroll in my head, I don't think we have any photos in front of any, like, you know, typical, like, movie or TV type thing.
That's true. Yeah.
It's just that we made a fake city or a fake neighborhood work instead of having to go out and find a neighborhood.
That's true. That
just made it really easy.
I think the funniest, like, movie part of that, the photos, was, like, where we stood to get married. Above it was a big sign for Joe Dirt 2.
Yes.
Which I thought was actually
I do
perfect
remember that. That was awesome.
From Texas, it was, like, very fitting.
Yeah.
It was fun. I'm so glad that that got to work out.
Awesome.
Obviously you like taking photos. How did you get into that all those years ago?
So in like 2000, I started playing music, mm-hmm. Right when I got out of, or like I guess I started in like 99-ish.
Ah, 96.
In high school, I discovered, well, I guess it was junior high, I discovered MXPX, and that showed me like a different side of music, because I think I was just used to like Michael Jackson and Criss Cross and Hootie and the Blowfish and Green Day. So like, I didn't think that anything smaller existed, and then I discovered MXPX and I just fell in love with like their sound and their speed and their energy, and that got me into music in high school, and I wanted to do like I wanted to be in a band so bad. And I think it was like my senior year I met a dude from a different high school and we started playing music together, and right out of high school, we started this band with a few other guys, and we played for like a year and a half, almost 2 years. It was called Set Apart, and which is the most like cliche Christian punk rock band you could do. We didn't realize that at the time. We were just, you know, little Central Coast California kids.
Of course.
But I was just like, man, this is so awesome. This is so fun. And we went down maybe 2001-ish to Southern California, to Riverside, to record our first, like, real legit, like, demo for a few days. And our friends were recording at the same time, and they were in an established, like, punk rock Christian band that had toured the U.S. for years. Ooh. Called Noggin Toboggan.
Noggin Toboggan. I remember they're on this like Valentine's, like Nothing Says I Love You. I had that.
Yep.
Aww.
Aww. Yeah, they're labeled it a few of those.
Yeah. That's fun.
And so they were signed to that label. It was called Betty Rocket. Mm-hmm. And they were recording their third album at the same studio at the same time. So we hung out with them, and we knew them a little bit from the scene, but we got to like really be friends with them by being in the studio with them for a few days. And I could spend an entire hour just talking about how weird that studio was, because it was like this family's house, and like, it was just, yeah, it was something else. But I think, like, you know how they talk about, like, when you go through something traumatic with somebody else, it, like, bonds you?
Mm-hmm, totally.
Like, that, I think, is why our band and their band became friends.
Aww.
And so a couple weeks later, they were playing a show in Fresno, and I wanted to, and that was a few hours from where I lived, and I went with a few friends to go see them play, but also knew that they would probably have, like, their new record, like, you know, with them, like, to listen to, and I really wanted to hear the finished product. So we drove out, and while we were there, my friend, she had like a film camera, because this was, again, like 2001-ish, so digital wasn't a thing yet. And I don't know why, but I was just like, hey, could I use your camera? Like, could I play around with that tonight? And I took some photos of Noggin playing. Aww. And a couple weeks later, when I got the film developed, I brought it to my friend Jeff, who was the singer, and he also did like their layouts and things like that. And he was working on the album design. And when I gave him the photos, he was like, dude, there's actually some cool shots in here. Can we put them in the CD? And I was like, yeah, absolutely.
That's so fun.
And so I think that, like, That definitely gave me some sort of taste. But then it was only a few weeks later that my band broke up, and I was Mr. Heartbroken. I felt like I got dumped by my longtime girlfriend who I was supposed to marry. Aww. And I was really sad. And the bass player in Noggin, I think, you know, could tell. And he just started inviting me to come hang at more of their shows, like, out of town and things like that. He wasn't trying to get me to work for them. He wasn't trying to, you know, give me a job to do. He just invited me to come for the hang. And I would, yeah, and I brought a camera every time. And so slowly, I think through them, I started getting interested in photo. But I never got interested enough to learn anything. Like, I didn't learn what shutter speed was or aperture or anything. I feel like the only thing I really learned was, like, how to compose a shot and how to, like, look for a moment or wait for a moment, you know. And working with them, I would know, oh, in this song, that's when Jeff jumps. Oh, in this song, that's when their drummer screams. Oh, and you know.
Fun.
And so then I would position myself to try to get something. And then years went by, and I just really, I went in different directions doing different things. And then it was in like 2006 or so that I kind of got interested in photo again. So it was like 5-ish years that I wasn't super invested in it.
Okay.
And then I had a roommate in college who was in a band, and I started taking photos of them, and I got kind of into it again. And then just one thing led to another, and like bands played at our school, and I got to shoot like a concert, and then like one of those photos got used in like the school paper.
Wow.
And then I was like, man, what if I like tried to do this?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of when I started asking people for like favors, you know. I'd be like, hey, you know these guys, could you ask them if I could get a photo pass? And I mean, I barely knew anything about like that scene and what was like the proper etiquette or channels, and somehow I just got really lucky. Like,
that's awesome. So it's kind of like, I feel like I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but like,
no.
Just like, if I don't know if you heard my last podcast with Joe Ortega, which I know you mutually know, like on Instagram with me. Like,
yeah, yeah,
friend.
Joe.
You guys almost have the exact same like origin story as far as like how you came up. And we got in the conversation of like, just be a good person, be the kind of person that someone would want to hang around and meet people, and then it kind of snowballs, and you end up meeting people through just
being there
and like being like willing and like excited and not having to be like the best at it quite yet, but just like
being the kind of person, you know. Yeah, that was stuff I learned later on, like that was important. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I tried to live my life that way, trying to be like a good person and a good hang and stuff like that. But honestly, my hustle was in just like two areas. It was like, I'm just going to reach out to people and ask because it doesn't hurt to ask. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to charge anything up front. Like, I'm going to ask for a pass. If I get one, I'm going to provide them with, at the time I'd be, you know, my pitch was, I can let you guys use stuff for your MySpace profile.
Yeah.
And if you want to own anything or use anything beyond that, then we can chat. But back to my friend from Noggin Toboggan, he had gotten into photography. And we were talking one day when I was getting more serious about it, and I was asking for some advice. His advice was, it was pretty simple, but it was just, he said, go out and just be better than everyone else. And so that was my goal. It was like, not to be like cocky or rude, but like sort of competitive. Like, all right, like there's 10 of us in this photo pit. My job is to like get a better photo than the other 9 of you.
Yeah, like competition.
Yeah, and so, I mean, and it was all internal. Like, I didn't tell anyone that. I didn't tell anyone that way. I wasn't like, I can't talk to you. But inside, I was like, I want to have a photo that, like, when people look up this show or find something and they see other people's images, that this is one that they stop on.
Awesome.
And that was my goal. Like, I just was, like, hunting for those moments. And I noticed a lot of people were shooting a lot of like telephoto stuff. So they were shooting a lot of up close photos of people's faces and stuff like that. And I shot wide all the time. I really loved like the fisheye right when I started, and I liked just wide angle lenses. And I just think that was like the part of what appealed to me in photography was like trying to paint or capture like the big picture. And so I think that also is what set me apart right in the beginning from everyone else, was I was showing like the full stage, or I was showing like the full scene versus guy at microphone singing.
That's definitely a look you have, I've noticed, like when you post things. Like,
yeah, and I don't know why that I gravitated towards that, but I guess I just didn't overthink it. I just tried to make myself happy. Like, if I went home with a little trophy, then I was stoked. Aww. And I felt like the band might feel the same way.
Totally.
And so then I just found myself like, you know, if I did something and if I said something to a band and if they used it, then I would use that as like momentum the next time they came around. And luckily at the time I lived in the LA area, so a lot of stuff came through many times a year. You know, the same band would come through 2 to 4 times a year on different tours and stuff. And so I would use that momentum and be like, hey, this is Jared. I'd love to come shoot with you again. And, you know, it was usually the first time I did something, I was like just the dude in the pit. I got in through some weird channel. The second time, maybe it was through the band, but very minimal interaction. Maybe I'd meet with one band member who was the one that ran their MySpace or something. Maybe I'd talk with a few guys in brief. But my feeling was I could do stuff with someone 3 times. That's all I needed.
Okay.
Like the 3rd time, I felt like I got them to a place where like we were becoming friends.
That's awesome.
Because we were chatting, because we had done a couple things in the past, because they were using my work. And so I felt like if I got that chance to get in front of a band like 3 times, then something had become established. And then through that, you know, it would open other channels to other bands. And I think that's really what happened. Like, I mean, the first band that I did that with was Sherwood, and The Rocket Summer, and then MXPX, and then Reliant K, and I mean, it snowballed into those bands.
That's fun. So MXPX is like your main, like not your main band, but you know what I mean? Like you do more work with them, but you've worked with so many, but I think if like you could pick one, MXPX is the one that you spend the most time with currently.
Yeah. Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, they're the one I've worked with on and off the longest. I mean, I've been working with them since 2007 and now it's 2019. So fun. I mean, there were a couple years in there where they weren't really doing as much, or where Mike was doing the All-Stars. And I think I shot the All-Stars one time, and no offense to what Mike and everyone was doing with that. But it just made me so sad. Like, the guys that were playing with him were really good musicians, but I was like, but it's not Tom, but it's not
Yeah,
Harry.
It's like, it's not
But I will say, though, if Mike didn't do that for those years, I don't think MX would still be around today.
Yeah, he definitely
I think if he disappeared, I think if they would have, like, disappeared during that time, I think they would have lost relevancy, and trying to come back, I think, would have been harder, so... Yeah. I think he, you know, by fighting it and slugging it out, like, he kept MXPX alive. And now they're in, like, an amazing place, you know, so.
I'm sure the listeners don't know this because they can't look into the past, but I saw you, was it 2 weeks ago almost, at an MXPX show?
Yeah.
I was joking with Mark, I was like, if you've seen Mrs. Doubtfire, where he gets hit with a piece of fruit, and he's like, it was a drive-by fruiting, and I was like, with you, it was like, it was a drive-by hugging, a run-by hugging,
because
you were so busy, but I was like, that was like one of my favorite parts of the night, was getting to see you, I was like, oh.
Yeah, I was so sad that, like, I mean, back in the day when I used to tour a little bit and stuff, like, you get in the rhythm and you know exactly, like, oh yeah, there's like plenty of time to do this, or I don't need to get as much content today because I can get it tomorrow. And
that's true.
But with these like fly out dates with MX and stuff, the downside is you gotta pack it in to the short window, and so it doesn't really leave a lot of flexibility, especially once the show starts. Like, for me, I definitely try to not be far from where the guys are, just in case like a friend comes by that's worth getting some content with, or if they start warming up and they start, you know, getting real chummy and silly with each other, like, I don't want to miss those moments. So then so that's just the downside. Like, when I go to LA or Seattle where I have friends, that if I can't see someone before doors, then I end up really not getting to see them because, you know, I'm working during the show. And then as soon as the band is done, like, I have to like hop on the computer and start backing up photos and looking for images so that the manager and the rest of the guys have like content either that night or the next morning. Cause I'm an old man and I go to bed as soon as I get back to the hotel that night. Like, I'm not like this young dude who's like, I'll stay up till 3 or 4. I don't care.
Yeah. You're like me. No, like, after parties. After parties are my nightmare. Like, nope.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. I was never that guy. I was like, I'll be on the bus, everybody. I'll see you later.
Well, as a friend, I like, even though I got to see you for like 2 minutes, it made me all warm and fuzzy and really appreciative that you took that little bit of time to come.
Yeah.
Me and Mark are really excited to see you.
Yeah, and that just made me go, man, next time I'm in SoCal, we really have to, like, all be able to, like, get a meal.
I know, and I'm so bad. Yeah. Like, I feel like I'm, like, the worst at hangs. But this year, I made a real big effort to, like, be a better friend in that area. I'm like, I just, like, been terrible. I'm like...
Oh, life is tricky with that kind of stuff. And you guys don't live in an easy place.
It's true.
Like, LA, it's all about timing. Like, if you're like, yeah, I get off work at 6. Let's meet 2 miles from my work. And you're like, cool, that'll take 2.5 hours.
It's true.
And you're like, I can't do it.
And then, like, if it's a weekend, like, I only work weekends. And so me and Mark have polar opposite schedules.
Right.
And so I'm like, dude, we're never together, like, at the same time. So it's really hard. Right.
And then when you guys do get that time, you don't want to give it away to some bing bong like me. Like, you guys want to see each other.
Bing bong.
No, I get it.
I think the last time, like, we were so close and, like, you called and I missed the call. And I was so mad. Because you were, like, driving, I don't know where you were going, but you were driving back to Orange County or something.
Yeah, I think I was up north and I was going south and
I was
trying to meet you guys for...
And I looked down, it's like, Miss Call, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, I was all ready. I was like, this is going to happen. Finally going to see Jared. And then I was like, well,
right.
I don't know what happened there. That sucks.
Yeah.
But okay. Hope you know we still love you.
It will happen, and then we'll take a photo again, and we can share it with the world and let them know that we finally met up at burgers or something.
Vegan burgers, yum. Ugh.
Have you tried Monty's Burger yet?
Oh, yeah. So good.
I think it's really good, but I was so let down because I mentally hyped it way too much in my head. I was like so pumped, and like we ended up, it was so like we were back in California for a wedding a couple months ago, and I was like, man, like this place is in LA and I don't think we're gonna be able to go. And then I was like, wait a second, there's a location in Riverside and this wedding is in Riverside. And I was like, let's see how far it is, and it was literally across the street from our hotel.
Wow.
And so I brought my kids the first day that we were in Riverside there, after like the rehearsal dinner, to go get like french fries and like a vegan milkshake.
Yeah.
And it was so good. And so the next day I was like, oh, I'm so excited. And I think I got myself so worked up that like I was too excited. So I couldn't eat. I was like not feeling hungry. And so then I was like, dang it, I'm going to miss my opportunity. And the next day I got it. And then I was just kind of like, oh, it's just like, no, it's fine. Like, it's great, you know? But yeah. I think I was, I ruined it for myself. And I was like, next time.
There's a place we just discovered, because Monty's doesn't do Grubhub or DoorDash. And I was like looking at places, and they just opened up a place on like Fairfax. You know where like Fairfax High School is, like right there? Like,
yeah.
Fairfax and Melrose. It's called Vow Burger, like V-O-W. And it's basically the same thing as Monty's. Like, it's that's so awesome. Good. They do, like, animal fries, or they're, like, curly fries. I'm like, this is bad news bears, but it's so good.
Right.
So I'm, like, spreading the word. If you can't get to Monty's, go to Val Burger. And I guess they donate back to, like, animal charities and, like, give, like, money to the homeless. I'm like, oh, my God. Because I guess they want to vow to do something good.
Yeah, you're like, I'm in.
Yeah. I'm in. But, yeah, so, yes, that would be great if we can do that. Have a veggie fest.
Yeah.
Okay, so. We talked about Tennessee versus California. What are you up to like now that you're not with MXPX currently, like today, these days?
Today, man, such an exciting day. I had client meetings and we did a couple of product photos.
Nice. What is all this for?
I've started a like local creative agency with another guy here in town, and then we're trying to service like local companies, businesses, restaurants, like marketing, content, merchandise, all that kind of stuff needs. And then we're also trying to be like a umbrella over some of our friends locally who freelance. We're just trying to like help them.
Awesome.
You know, they all do their own freelance stuff, but we're also trying to provide them work, you know, when we can.
Aww.
Be like, hey, we can hire you for this job, and so you don't have to go look for it. Like, we'll find it for you.
Interesting. So you're kind of like a mini agency of sorts.
Almost. Yeah, exactly. That's what we're trying to do.
That's awesome.
So we've been doing that for 6-ish months now.
Oh, wow.
And
it's
been
company.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Aww. But it's been rad. It's been really cool.
That's
and
really
so. Yeah, and it's just diverse. Like, we work with, like, a tattoo shop and a coffee shop and, like, a local merch brand and a Japanese boutique. And it's fun because it's just, like, a bunch of stuff.
Cool. Yeah, sticking to one genre constantly, which is nice, I'm sure.
Yeah, just bouncing around a little bit. So.
Probably helps you meet a lot of people in the community as well.
Absolutely. Because then word of mouth, we did a video for one client last week, and then they put it up for the weekend for like Small Business Saturday, and then they were like, hey, this person hit me up and they're interested in talking.
Awesome.
Can I send them your info? And you're like, absolutely.
You're like, nah. So.
Yeah, nah, I'm good not doing more work.
Cool. I'm not really looking to help anyone else. Thank you, though.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, so then...
Oh, sorry. You know, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say that's what keeps me busy these days now is pretty much, like, during the week I'm working with those businesses and a nonprofit. And then once a month, I go out of town for MXPX shows.
Oh, yeah. You guys have one coming up in Atlanta?
This month, this month we have Seattle.
Okay.
To finish out the year. And then in January, we are doing Florida, like Orlando and Atlanta in a weekend.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you have do you have like a fun MXPX like photo story or just a fun MXPX story for like us MXPX fans that like stands out in your mind, like off the top of your
I guess for me that one fun favorite thing was when I was first getting to know them in 2007. I had done a handful of shows with them, but I'd never been on the road with them. Mm-hmm. I hadn't spent any time with them. And I think we were doing a show at a festival in Irvine, and I caught them talking about working on the cover too.
Ooh.
And I was like, you guys are doing another cover record? And so they told me about it, and I was like, what, like, could I shoot it? Like, do you guys need someone to shoot, you know, for the album? And I was like, ooh, here's an idea. Like, what if we had you guys dress up like all of the bands you're covering?
Yeah.
And at the time I thought, this is brilliant. No one's ever thought of something like this before. And then I was like, oh, and you know what we could do? Like, if we have you dress up like all the bands, we could also just have you guys redo the original cover.
Yeah.
And they were like, that actually sounds cool. Let's do it. And I was like, what? Like, I sold you guys on this? And so sometime that summer I went up and spent a weekend with them, and we like scouted locations and we bought props. Aww. And then we did this shoot like around Bremerton and then at their studio. And that was just really fun because like it was, you know, it's fun to get them, you know, especially for me, like they were brand new guys for me to work with and still like my heroes and the band that I like grew up on. But to like have like Tom wearing a dress and like Mike wearing like a lady's wig and stuff like that. Like it was just super fun to like see them be willing to put themselves out there. And I mean, Tom was pretty gung-ho about getting dressed up like a lady, so it didn't take much arm pulling.
You're like, is there something we twisting should know, Tom? Is this something you enjoy on the
road? Yeah. But that was really fun. Just playing dress up for a weekend and stuff, especially as like a guy that like I said, I hadn't done much with them.
Yeah.
And so they really just took a chance on like the few shows that we had done. But like you said, I think, you know, I think what vouched more than my photos was like that we all just got along. I was easy like to be around, to be with, I think. So,
well, I mean, judging we all, from how I know you, I think that's true.
Yeah, hopefully. So.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. So also, I wish I knew the date of when I interviewed you for my blog many moons ago, but I would ask Tim.
What's a blog?
I know, right? Words on paper. What? Or on screen, I guess. Mm-hmm. So back in the day, I would like find some really cool people and I'd ask them like 10 serious questions and 10 silly questions. And I have two of them that were my favorite that stood out. And one was, if you were in the tabloid, like there was something in the tabloids written about you, what would it say? And you said, watches too much Seinfeld and eats too much pizza. Would that still be true?
Well, I would say no, because I have a family, and so I don't have as much free time. Thank you. I don't have as much free time, so I'm not sitting around wasting my time anymore. And then if I have time to like sit and watch stuff, then I usually want to watch stuff that all of us can watch or that like I can introduce the kids to. So like, now we spend our time watching like Ninja Turtles or Adventure Time or things like that, you know.
Yeah.
But every once in a while when I'm like having that downtime, I try to get back my Seinfeld time.
You're a fan of Schitt's Creek as well, I believe.
Oh god. I'm like obsessed. So good.
I've like have you seen like the new little mini trailer for the new season?
No, I haven't, and I avoid stuff like that because then I get too excited.
I'm so excited, but also I was like teary-eyed. Yeah. I'm like, it's like 30 seconds, and I'm ready to cry. It looks like it's going to be so good.
It's so good.
Oh, it's a and, heartwarming.
have you watched Letterkenny yet?
No.
Oh.
Okay, I'm going to put that on the list.
I've had a few friends in the past, like, just casually say you should watch it, and I'm like, okay. But it wasn't until I actually sat down and tried it, and then I was like, why didn't you guys tell me? Like, no, you have to watch
this. Okay. Definitely.
So I think, yeah, give it a few episodes, and you'll fall in love, just like Schitt's Creek.
Awesome. I know Schitt's Creek is one of those where I kept hearing about it, and finally I was like, eh. I'll give it a try.
Right?
And two episodes in, I was like, binge watching.
Yep, delightful.
Oh, so good.
But I do still eat too much pizza.
Oh, good. Okay, so the tabloids would just say, eat.
Boring old guy still eats lots of pizza.
Yeah. I love that. Okay, the other one I used to always ask everybody was, what makes you come alive? And at that time, you said, earnest dialogues about Jesus. And I feel like that could still be very true for you.
Yeah, it just looks different now.
It does, yes. And I feel like me and you have been on a very similar journey.
Yes.
I feel like, very similar.
Yeah, right.
Because I think we both grew up, like, in the same 90s era, listening to the Tooth and Nail and doing the whole thing. And which is, like, the best time to be, like, a teenage Christian kid.
Totally,
like,
I love it. Yeah.
But, like, I don't know what kind of church you grew up in, but I grew up in a very, like, Pentecostal, like, kind of scary environment. And so I remember as I got older and you started, like, thinking for yourself and, like, reading things. And then you find people who really open your eyes. And it's funny because I know I'm going to see the same Rob Bell show that you went to see.
Nice.
I'm seeing that next Tuesday, a week from today.
Awesome.
I'm really pumped. So I remember when he was, like, before Love Wins came out, I think Velvet Elvis came out, I was, like, so into him. And then you have the people who are like, no, shouldn't be listening to that guy. So I got scared and I put him away for many years. Yeah. Right. And then, like, a few months ago, I think actually it was when you went to the Rob Bell thing, you posted, and I was like, oh, that guy's still doing stuff? Like, I didn't know you were still around.
Right.
And so I went and listened to his podcast, and I was like, oh, such a breath of freaking fresh air.
Yep.
So I, like, binge listened to him and then just started reading all the books again. And then that escalated to Pete Holmes because the guy I dated in high school who got me into all this stuff, he is very opposite in views now. And he told me, he's like, Christy, you need to watch Crashing because it's how we grew up. And, like, I think he sees it in a different way than I do. But I was like, holy crap, this show is amazing. And so that made me want to listen to Pete's podcast. And I could listen to Pete and Rob talk all day long.
Right.
So, and I feel like me and you have the same kind of love for those people, which is fun.
Yeah. It's been, so back in, like, man, when was it? Like 2012 or 13, I think is when I.
Oh, are you there? Jared?
Hello?
Oh, there you are.
Sorry.
It's okay. 2012.
Yeah, so in 2012, I got really into podcasts because we had moved from Orange County back up to, like, the Central Coast. And I would drive down and do these shoots, you know, do work, and then I'd have these long drives home.
Yeah.
And I think in the podcast app, I just, like, looked up Aziz Ansari for some reason. And I saw that he was doing a podcast with this guy named Pete Holmes, who I'd never heard of, but it was like 2.5 or 3 hour episode. And I was like, I'll put this on, like, that'll take most of my drive. And if it's boring, I'll turn it off. And I got so wrapped up in that episode because it was just these guys talking about the craft of stand-up comedy and, you know, growing up in the 90s, like, loving Seinfeld and stuff like that. Like, I really like stand-up and I really like comedy and stuff that makes you think and stuff that makes you laugh and stupid jokes and things like that. And so I fell in love with, like, oh my gosh, this is a great podcast. And I liked at the time Pete's format, you know, which I mean, it's still his format, but yeah. He talked about, you know, work, he talked about relationships, and he talked about God or an afterlife or whatever. And I thought, that's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
And I cherry picked episodes with him for years, like just listened to things when it was guests that I knew and stuff like that. And then, and in the beginning, he was only interviewing comedians. And then I remember a few years in, like, he interviewed a friend of mine who's a musician. And I was like, oh, that's rad. Like, yeah. She's on his podcast. That's so cool. And then I started seeing that he was interviewing people that weren't comedians. And then all of a sudden I saw Rob Bell's name and I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And so I listened to it, and in his like setup to that episode, he talked about how like him and Rob met and how Rob sort of helped him refind his faith. And so for me, I was like, well, this is interesting.
Totally.
Like, here's a dude, because at the time, my only other real like outward, let's call it like minor celebrity type thing that I was seeing, of somebody who grew up in the faith and walked away, was David Bazan.
Oh yeah.
And it was a very interesting journey to witness and to watch. And like, I was very anti it in the beginning because I think I was just a scared believer, you know, someone who's like, oh, you've lost your faith. Well, you're wrong. And people who listen to you are being tricked and that's bad. And,
right.
And then I got to a different place with my thoughts on, you know, on Bazan and stuff. But then I wasn't like tired of him, but he was the only one that was like being interviewed on different podcasts about like why he left and what he thinks and all this stuff. And so having Pete was like a new thing, you know, a new option, a new idea of somebody else who came up in this,
yeah,
bumped up against it, questioned it, walked away from it. But for Pete, he came back to it, you know, versus David, who's not back to it.
Right.
And so I started like consuming more of his information that he was putting out. And then he would put out those Friends of Rob episodes.
Yeah.
And my dad is on the same journey.
Oh, fun.
My wife, my mom, like, aww, some of our friends, we've all been on this journey for years.
Yeah.
And somebody, I don't think it was through Pete, but somebody else in my circle also kind of discovered Richard Rohr.
Oh,
and then we all discovered Richard,
yeah,
Rohr.
I just want to like hang out with him and just sit.
Dude, I want hugs.
I know.
Richard Rohr hugs.
We need some people like that in our generation. Yeah. I'm scared that.
No,
like,
I think it's coming.
Okay,
it's
good.
Coming.
Yeah.
Because I think we came up in this, like, you know, like you said, we came in this like Christian countercultural punk rock scene. And I think a lot of our friends graduated high school and then they just threw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah.
And that was the end of it. And they all walked away, or other people.
And I don't blame them at all.
No.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, I feel like most of the Christian bands I listened to in high school, none of them are Christians anymore.
Right.
And at the time, you know, years ago, I would have been like, that's so sad. And now I'm like, nah, I get it.
Yeah, totally.
But again, the idea that like they threw out their belief and then there wasn't anything else for them. And I feel like Pete and Rob and Richard Rohr and some other people are offering something instead of just being like, hey, we question this and maybe it's messed up and maybe it's wrong and what, like, they're trying to build a path and they're like, we don't know where it's going.
Right.
But that's part of the beauty, right? Like the journey. And there's just so much, whenever I listen to Richard or Rob, or I mean, especially Pete, like, I know Pete's just a comedian, but to me, he's like so much more.
He's like one of
that,
us.
Yeah. Well, I think he's more though.
Because
of how much he's studied and poured
true.
Himself into stuff.
He
like
I
don't have the
about.
Time for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That like, I look to him as like a spiritual, like, advisor in this. And so much of what he says and Rohr says and stuff like that, there's just so much truth that immediately resonates
right. And it's so,
when they say
like,
stuff.
Like when I started, I remember because like It's hard to explain, but like when I first moved here, I was going to this one church, and then I started having doubts, and then I like messaged the pastor of that church, and then he, instead of responding, gave it to like a bunch of kids in church and told them to come talk to me, and I was like, what? This is private. So then I got mad. Anyways, and so I've been going like on this journey, like trying to figure out like what, like I don't know how to, it's really hard to explain, but when I found Rob again, I remember just being really overwhelmed, and then I just had this like sense of like, ah, it's gonna be okay, you know. But it's like at the same time, I'm not like brave enough to be like, totally, I love this guy, you guys check him out, because I'm like, I can't have the people from like my past being like, how dare you listen to him, you know? It freaks me out, and I don't know why, but those two, and doesn't Pete call, he calls him Richie Roar. I like that. Like, those three. Oh, Richie. Yeah. Like, there's something about, I don't know, it's something about people admitting that they don't have all the answers. To me, it's like really nice.
Well, and opening, I mean, they open the door to something that I think really bums me out about Christianity to this day, which is that most Christians think that there's only like truth to be found in their book, and that's it. And they think that their book is 100% right and shouldn't be questioned, shouldn't be challenged. And I think that there's just so much beauty in finding truth in other places. And like, I think Pete said it in his book where he said, many wells, same water.
Yeah, totally.
And I remember, I mean, there were many, many points in his book that I just was like, oh my gosh, like so, so much like love and beauty in a simple statement.
Totally.
And to me, I'm like, if I'm going to believe in God, like this is God then. Like not this petty thing. Like again, that like him and he you know, he'll quote a bunch and talk about Richard Rohr saying like, we create a God that looks like us instead of us trying to look like God. And what, again, when somebody says that, I feel like it blows your hair back. You're like, whoa, that's it. And like,
so,
yes,
so
like,
simple of an idea.
Yeah. And so and so I, you know, that becomes something that I get really excited to talk about with people nowadays, because back in the day for me, it was like, oh, well, I'm supposed to like try to witness to people and save them from hell. And that was my motivation. And when I stopped believing in hell, I was like, oh, I'm not afraid anymore.
Right.
And I also understand other people who do get upset and fight for their beliefs, where their motivation comes from. Like they are afraid.
Right.
And I just want to be like, yo, you don't have to live in fear.
Right.
Like, that's not what this is about. And there's so much like weight that can be lifted and so much beauty. And that again is where I'm saying, like, it makes me sad that so many of my friends, you know, that I grew up with or that I've gotten to know through the music scene, through the baby out with the bathwater, because I see them still trying to figure things out. And I still see some of these people like being lost. And I don't mean like, you need Jesus in your life, man, then you'll not be lost. But like, they're missing it. And I don't know what that looks like anymore. Like 100%. Again, I feel like that's something that Pete talks a lot about, like, or Richard saying like, you know, if you drew a circle and to be a Christian, you had to be inside that circle. He's like, I'm on the very edge. You know, and so, and I'm like, dude, that's where I am. Like, was Jesus real? I don't know. Do I believe in a literal resurrection? I don't know. Does it matter? No. I don't know. You know, like, but I feel like in the few years that I've gotten into that kind of stuff and paid more attention, done a little bit of, you know, research, but more than anything, just tried to live in that stream. My life has just been so much more fulfilling and so much more full and so much more, vibrant and things like that. And I'm like, man, this is what it's about.
True.
Like if you're gonna have a belief, like, then this is what belief should look like. Not saying my belief and not saying I've got it figured out, like, but just saying like it should just be like beautiful. It should not be this thing that makes you scared and that makes you hate and that makes you mean and that makes you negative and makes you selfish. Like, and I just, I'm like, man, that's what Christians, and especially in America, look like today. Uh-huh. Like, you know, so.
I know, I was trying to tell.
So yeah, those things get me excited.
I forgot I was telling somebody the other day, like during my like trying to figure it out time, like this is like 2010 or 11, probably right when I met you. I was like going through all the stuff, and I have a friend in Georgia, and he was going to seminary, and he was like, oh, you should read these books and these books. And it was things that totally like not like went against what I believed, but like, oh, so there's another side of this. And I was like, oh, so everything I've been taught, not like it was like a vindictive situation, like, but I was like, there's a lot more than what I've been told. And it was very freeing. And I remember learning that a lot of what I was taught growing up has only been around for 150 years or so, like in like history. I was like, holy moly. I'm like, this isn't even like the original idea of things. So it was, I don't know, just really cool. But also like growing up in the, and going through that, kind of like with Pete, you have a lot more grace for the people that fight you. You get what I mean? Like, because you know why they're there, and you know why they're trying to battle you.
I in my years being a Christian, I honestly, like, you know, a typical Christian or whatever, I don't feel like I could be like, oh man, I had successful victories. I won people to the like, I don't think I have any of that. Mm-hmm. And I don't think in those times that I'd be like, hey, you should read this guy, and that someone would write me back and be like, man, that changed my life.
Yeah.
But since leaving that behind, I have had so many people write me like a text or give me a call or have a, you know, to be like, bro, I found this dude. Do you know who Rob Bell is? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, man, it has given a voice to what I felt for so long. And I'm like brought to tears, you know, because I'm like, oh my gosh, this person's on the path. They're figuring these things out. Yeah. Or people who were burned and left the church behind, and to be like, hey man, you know what? If you're open, you should listen to this episode.
Yeah.
There's this comedian named Pete. He interviews this friar named Richard Rohr. They talk about some weird things. And I've had them hit me up and be like, that changed everything for me. Like, I'm interested again. I'm interested in what this looks like.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, you know. And
that's what it's about.
There was something, and there was something that I had heard in church years back where a pastor said, he was talking about the salt and light verse, and he was saying he believes that what that verse really is talking about is like when, like if you oversalt something, it makes you thirsty. And he was like, man, I think people that have had a real encounter and that really get it, when you interact with them, they leave you thirsty.
Ah.
And I was like, whoa, that's awesome. Because we all, I think, like when you travel in that scene and in the church, like most of your church friends and Christian friends are just a bunch of idiots like you and me.
Totally.
And every once in a while you meet someone that's incredible and they do leave you thirsty. And I'm like, those are the people that have really found their way into the stream.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that was so few and far between inside like the American church. And now I find that I'm running into those kind of people all the time.
Totally.
Those that have like left that behind, but haven't given up and have figured out this other in between place of like, you know what? No, this is truth. This is beauty. This is love and acceptance. And I'm like, yeah, I want more of that. I'm here for this.
You said something about running. What did you say? Running into or something. And I had a funny little story. So when I do my running outside, I always run in front of the Largo on purpose, hoping that one day Pete or Rob would just be standing out there.
Yeah.
I'm like, one day. And there was one day where I ran by and there was a line and I was like, oh, whatever. And then the next day on the Largo Instagram, it was like Pete and like Judd Apatow. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, I was so close.
But yep. Like,
I was joking.
You gotta stop.
I don't know what I would do if I saw them. I'd be all sweaty and disgusting, but I just think
that's
okay.
That's the perfect time to say, this is the worst time for me to meet you, but I have to.
Yeah. So it was really, I'm excited about that little, what do you call it? A talk? No, it's like not a show.
Yeah. I don't know what you call it, but I'll tell you this. Amanda, my wife and I, we left it and I was like, why is that not church?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it was like a mix of like an hour and a half of like a little bit of education, mainly stories and jokes, tiny, tiny sliver of Bible, mm-hmm. and a lot of the people were drinking beer.
Oh, fun.
And I was just like, why is this not church? Like, this is so much better.
I know.
You know,
yeah.
It was so good. And it just made me, it made me even more like hesitant to go back to church, because I'm like, man, church is so boring, and you leave like uninspired, and you just want to like, you just want to get home and eat or watch football or something like that. You're not like, no, no, I don't want to leave. I don't want, please, I hope this is not over soon.
Yeah.
And that's how it felt seeing Rob. Aww. I was just like, please don't let this be over.
I'm so
like,
excited.
I don't want to go home yet, you know? it's wonderful.
It sold out the first night. I was so bummed. Then he like booked another one. Yeah. I was like, oh, thank God.
Good. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yay. Well, that, yeah, I could talk to you. We could have a whole conversation about just that.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have to do that after you see Rob sometime.
Yes. We'll do an update. So we're reaching the hour mark. So I think the one thing I really have to ask you now is, to the listeners, I have a soundtrack of awesome music that people love, because I feel like in my world, I love music, and most of the people I talk to, I love music. If you don't love music, then I don't know if we can be friends. That's right. Who hates music? But what's it like, a song that like you just love that you would like to tell people they should check out? Old or new?
Oh my gosh, that's hard. I'm gonna pick two. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Or does that break the rules?
No, it does not break the rules at all.
So I'm gonna pick two. And part of why I'm picking two is my wife and I have not really introduced our kids to like kids' music.
Okay.
They really only listen to like our music. Mm-hmm. We just figure out like the bands or the artists that are a little more like fun or a little bit more like interesting that we think they would get into. And they'll ask questions in the car if the radio's on. They'll be like, who is this? And my wife will be like, oh, this is Elton John. And aww. They'll be like, I like this, aww. You know? So the two songs that I would tell people to listen to that I feel like are a lot of my life right now are the first one, because of my allegiance and loyalty to our team, is All of It by MXPX.
Nice.
Which is on their new album.
Okay.
And it sounds like a love song, but the beauty of it that Mike tells at like their MX shows is his daughter came up to him one day and the kitchen and was like, Dad, do you know how much I love you? And he said, no, how much? And she said, all of it.
Aww.
And I was just like, get out of here, it's too cute. But my kids love that song, and they love like singing the chorus and things like that. And it's the other reason I love that song was a couple years ago when they played in Nashville, you know, I was just doing my normal getting content, and I pulled out my phone randomly during sound check to film for a second. And Tom said, don't put this on the internet. And I was like, what? And then they started playing that song. And I was like, and this was before it had come out. And I was like, holy, this is a new MXPX song. And then they went into another new song. And I just stood there for like 4.5 minutes with a big grin on my face, because I was like, this would have killed me as like a high school kid, you know, to be standing in the room and hear a song that has not yet been recorded and not been released. And I was just like transported back to that moment. And so I was like, oh, this is so cool. And I mean, that song's so good. It's so fast and fun. And then the other song that is one of our family favorites, but especially our son's favorite, is True Sadness by the Avett Brothers.
Ooh. Dang, it's some good music taste in that.
That song to me is really just beautiful because it's honest. You know, them writing just different things. You know, when I was a child, I depended on a bottle. Full grown, I lean on a bottle. Aww. Like, there's beauty in that.
Yeah.
But, and then, you know, the chorus about peeling layers to get to the fact that there is true sadness. But then for me, I you know, because I still have a belief, there's the last verse of the song. They say, there's like a line that says, just know, the kingdom of God is within you, but the, yeah, I'm going to butcher it. But that still means like the battle is bound to continue, you know, kind of idea. Okay. So like, what I always love about them is, their honesty. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like the stuff that we were fed as kids of like, oh, become a Christian and your life is awesome, or accept Jesus and all your problems go away.
Right. Yep.
You know that, but they're, you know, they're just saying like, the kingdom of God is not somewhere else. It's in us. Like it's here. It's now. But that also doesn't mean that life becomes perfect or is easy. Like we still have, you know, a fight to get through, you know, just like slugging it out. Like, yeah. I mean, life is difficult. Life is a challenge. And so those are definitely my songs. Yeah. Right.
Does he like the Weezer song? My name is Jonas.
Oh yeah.
I'm sure you've let him hear that one.
Oh, that, I mean, we have to, because that is why we picked that name. Yeah,
he's so freaking cute. I think the only time I've met any of your kids was at my wedding. Wait, was it
Cadence? She was the only one. Nah. Yep, she was a little babe.
That's fun. Well, Jared, thank you so much.
Absolutely, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I am really excited to get this out in the universe.
Yes, thank you, universe and the other planets. I hope other people or other beings listen to us talk.
Yes, aliens. I'm all for aliens.
Yeah. Like, me too. I mean,
when the SpaceX thing was going on, people were freaking out thinking it was a rocket or a spaceship. I was like, bring it. I don't even care.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
Come on over.
That's right.
Awesome. Cool. Yay, this is fun.
Yes. Well, thank you again for having me. Let's catch up more soon. And please send my love to your husband.
I will. There you have it, guys. My conversation with Jared Scott. I had so much fun talking to him. Obviously, you now know that he is friggin' rad and super just positive and fun. And I left that conversation feeling very inspired and just, I don't know. I just really like talking to people that make me feel like there's still like beauty and adventure in the world. And Jared is definitely one of those folks. So I, with that said, suggest that you guys give him a follow on Instagram. His name on there is at Jared Scott. It's JeredScott. And if you go to an MXPX show or one of the random shows that he photographs, please give him a high five for me. Tell him I sent ya. Give him a high five and get to be his friend because he is rad. Also, in that episode, we added 2 new songs to the podcast soundtrack. I'm definitely going to link that in the show notes, and it's a lot of fun. It's growing. Every episode, we add more music to it, and it's just a lot of fun. I know I keep saying that, but that is just like the word that describes the soundtrack so far. So please tell all your friends. Please subscribe and rate it and just share with your pals because that means so much to me and it helps me get the word out. Upcoming, I know I still have Christopher Rowe from the Ataris on the books at some point, and also, my friend Steve from RX Bandits. Going to be chatting with him soon, and I have a few people I'm going to reach out to. Looking forward to getting back with them. We're just going to keep this rolling. It's going to be fun. So, keep on listening, and I feel silly right now. I'm just, like, scatterbrained. I'm going to blame the rain. The rainy weather has got me too pumped, so I can't focus on anything. But you guys have an amazing day, and I'm looking forward to next episode. Bye! You've been listening to the Christy G Podcast.
Yeah, you have. Be sure to subscribe. And give her a follow on Instagram at Christy G.
Yeah, you can also check out my website at www.christyg.com.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, y'all.